somebody? Will you invite? Will you make an extra effort? And by the way, the devil's going to make an extra effort to keep you home Sunday. So just make up in your mind that unless you're in the emergency room, unless you're at Joyner's Funeral Home as the guest of honor, that you're going to be here Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. I choose to be here Sunday morning for a great service in the Lord. This is our series on I Choose, and I'm enjoying this because I'm having to live this. I'm having to walk this out. I'm preaching it, but I'm also praying it. Amen? Because the thesis of our series is be careful how you choose. You've got the freedom of choice. But when you make a choice, the choice will then make you. You are free to choose, but you're not free from the consequences of the choice you choose. So there are always consequences, and we want you to have some blessings, and we want you to know by making the right choices in your home, the right choices in your marriage, the right choices in your children, raising your children, the right choices in your Christian life, the right choices in your prayer. We've talked about choosing joy. I said choosing joy. We've talked about choosing the Lordship of Christ. We've talked about choosing prayer. Many sermons on that. Choosing to trust. Choosing to worship. Choosing to meditate on God's Word. And we've talked about choosing our attitude. And so tonight, this is starting the Thanksgiving season. Thanksgiving is upon us next week, should the Lord tarry. And so I want to talk to you about I choose to be thankful. Say that with me. I choose to be thankful. Now, it began officially by President George Washington in November of 1789, with a presidential proclamation of a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then in 1863, President Lincoln established it as the fourth Thursday of every November. And then we go beyond, before all of that, to the Pilgrims. On November the 29th, 1623, a proclamation was given to all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623, the third year since ye pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. Amen. And so on that first Thanksgiving day, 46 Americans and 91 Indians gathered to give thanks unto the Lord. I want you to stand tonight and let's read two passages of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I also want to make a proclamation that this year, as in every year and in every way and even in every day, that we choose to give thanks to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15, if you're there, say amen. Colossians 3 and 15, if you're there, say amen. Let's read it together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And the last part, and say it again. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Be ye thankful. Or you be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. See if your neighbor's got it. Your neighbor's got it? Everybody got it? All right. Out loud, everybody. Ready? Read. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, Father, tonight we choose to give thanks and praise and glory to God. We've been through the trials and the tests. But you brought us through and even greater things to come. We choose to give thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And turn around and tell your spouse, I am so thankful that you married me. Can we give the Lord a thanksgiving hand of praise here tonight? Amen. Lord, we choose to give you thanks. A man by the name of Kipling was a great British poet whose writings have blessed many. And he was a very famous writer before he died, and he made a great deal of money in writing. And many years ago, a newspaper reporter came to him once and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writing amounts to over $100 a word. Now, this was when $100 was a lot of money. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, really? I certainly wasn't aware of that. The reporter cynically reached into his pocket, pulled out a crisp $100 bill, and gave it to Kipling and said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Your words are worth $100. Will you give me a word for this $100 bill that I gave you? He thought for a moment, thought, he said, thanks. Oh, do we not have a lot to say thanks for? And I don't know that the word thanks is worth $100, but I'll tell you what, it might be worth $1 million. Amen. You know, to say thanks just to people goes a long way. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you mean. Thanks. You know, God responds when we choose to thank Him. Now, in our first text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, I don't know how you quite read this passage, but I read this as a command. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't a multiple choice. This is a command. Be ye thankful. Turn around and tell your neighbor, be ye thankful. Just like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt worship, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Scripture also commands us, and be ye thankful. It is a command, and we are to obey our commander. He is saying in the good times, praise His name, and in the bad times, do the same. In mourning, praise Him and thank Him. At evening, thank Him. Give Him thanks for the big things, for the small things. Be ye thankful. It is a command. And if you don't feel like it, then it doesn't really matter because you've got to obey the Lord. Amen? Lord, I thank you. Say that with me. Lord, I thank you. Now get a little soul in you. Lord, I thank you. Oh, aren't you obeying the command of the Lord? Will you give Him a hand of praise? Be ye thankful. Amen? It's a command. Yes, sir. Salute. I'll obey the command to thank God. Now, I'm going through some tough times. That's a hard command to obey, but it's not impossible to obey. And may I tell you that every command that God gives you will ultimately, if you obey, turn for your good. And not only is it a command, it is a choice. Because you can disobey. You have to choose to thank God. In fact, someone said the hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. And so in light of this season, and for so many reasons, I believe we should do what 1 Thessalonians Brother Blue 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for what this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you going to choose thanksgiving? If you are, say amen tonight. Now, I want to give you three things out of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Understand the arena of thanksgiving. Understand the aim of thanksgiving. And if I can flip a page here, understand the ability of thanksgiving. The arena. First of all, what is the arena of thanksgiving? The Bible says that we're to give thanks. What, in what arena? In what area? In everything. Say that with me. In everything. The little word in is a preposition that denotes, listen to this, a fixed position. Praise God, in. Fixed position. Two things about that. I'm in a fixed position. I'm in the Lord. I'm standing here. Devil, you're not going to mark me out of my way. I don't care what you throw at me. In everything. I'm in a fixed position. I'm in an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of fortitude. In everything. Fixed position. I'm going to give him thanks. Somebody say amen. And then I thought, number two, a fixed position. Some of you need your position to be fixed. Some of you have been through some rough times, some tough times. Some of you have had breakups and back breaks and heartbreaks. And some of you have had some turns and some twists to this thing called life. But I'm here to tell you, he's a God that can fix your position. I'm telling you, in everything, give thanks, because you may be in the valley, but you're not going to stay in the valley. If you are in the valley, you're on your way to your next mountain. And in everything, give thanks. He is God. He is sovereign. He is overseeing. He cares for you. He knows the hair on your head. He said, consider the lilies of the field. And I want you to know that in everything, in that position, he can fix it and he can make it right. Can you say amen? What Paul means here is at any time and in any condition and in any place, we're to be a thankful people. Now, how many of you will say, that's not always easy? Say amen. We have his presence in any time, in any condition, and in any place. His presence. Just as the Lord was with Paul on the ship, just as the Lord was with the disciples on the boat, just as the Lord was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, just as the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den, so he will be with you in any time and in any condition and in any place. I remember when my mother was assaulted viciously by someone. She was severely beaten in an altercation. I had told my mother, I was on the phone, I knew something was brewing. And I tell you, the Lord came over me. I was in Kinston. I said, Mother, get out of that place and get out of it now. And I mean right now. I said, you don't ever listen to me. I said, I am your son. And I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I love you with everything I got within my spirit. But I'm telling you, over this phone, you need to listen to me, and you need to get out of that situation, and get out of it now. And, buddy, I was not being nice. I was telling her exactly. Listen, meekness is not weakness. Amen? I was just as much a Christian and sanctified as I was. And I didn't cuss like some of y'all do. And I didn't do that. And I didn't spit either. Amen? I might have stomped my foot a little bit, but I raised my voice. I meant it, because she was in danger. And the other lady almost, I'm going to tell you, it was terrible. And I remember that sure enough, Mother didn't listen to me. And Mother, if you're watching, I love you, but you didn't listen to me, your son. And she didn't listen to me. She took matters in her hand, and she got a whooping. I'm telling you, it was terrible. And I had to run all the way to an emergency room at Nash General Hospital from Kinston. And it was the weekend of conference. We were supposed to be at conference on Saturday. And this was Friday night. Well, I didn't make it to conference. So I remember sitting in the emergency room, and my mother's neck was in a brace, and they had taken x-rays, and they had said that she had been, her C4 bone had been fractured. And they immediately mobilized her, and they let me know the gravity of the situation. They said, Mr. Nelms, if anything goes wrong with that C4 vertebrae, she could stop breathing, and she could be paralyzed from neck down. And now listen to this. I'm in the emergency room. My sister, you see my sister that comes here, she was trying to help Mama out, and in the process, she got whooped too. And I told them both not to mess with that crazy demon-filled person they were dealing with. So my sister wasn't even there. She was in another room, not beat quite as bad, but beat very bad. And so I was sitting there. My dad had passed away. She had not been remarried. I'm the pastor of the church in Kinston, and I'm sitting there, and there's nobody there but Mama and me. But there was more than Mama and me. The Lord was there. And I can tell you, I felt the Lord's presence. And I went over to my mother, and I prayed with her. And to make a long story short, we sent her to Greenville, and they did two more tests, and they couldn't find the fracture at all. Do you know why? Because the Lord is with us in terrible situations. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? We have his presence in any condition, in any place, and at any time. We have his promises. I love this. What he has promised, he is able to accomplish. We have his purposes, Romans 8 and 28. We have his power. We have an all-powerful Lord, and the things we're called upon to face in this life, he is well able to deal with. If he can do great thing, do the great things recorded in the Word of God, then surely he can meet the... Listen, I read, if God can do the great things in this, that's why you read your Bible. That's why you go through the Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's why you devour the Word, because you read those mighty exploits. You read how Moses' face shone because he'd been in the presence of God. You read how Daniel saw the lion's mouth was stopped. You read how Jesus and Peter walked upon the water. You read about those great things. And I'm telling you, if he can do the great things of the Bible, he can do the little things in your life. Turn around and tell somebody the little things matter to God. I mean, the little things matter to God. And so, in everything, in any condition, at any time, in any place, when we were at John Curling's funeral the other day, I believe it was a week ago today, and Brother John was one of our great members here at this church, but I'm going to tell you what, his funeral service, you could feel the presence of the Lord. Amen? You could almost look at Brother John in the casket and see that he was there and content, and you could tell that the man had walked with the Lord. Amen. Even in death, death is not a separation. Death is a promotion. Death does not mean annihilation, the end of our existence. It just means the end of our body, but not the end of our existence. Death, in death and in life, he is the Lord of living and the Lord of the dying, and he is with us in his power, his purposes, his promise. So understand, the arena of thanksgiving is in everything. Say it with me, in everything, everywhere, every condition, any place. It is the will of God. I choose to give thanks. Will you choose to give thanks? If you will, give him another hand of praise here tonight. I choose. Number two, not only the arena of thanksgiving, but the aim. We're told to be thankful for everything. Brother Ricky, I'm in debt. Now, I'm about to go bankrupt. How can I be thankful for debt? Well, just be thankful you're not one of your creditors. Amen? If you're in debt and you're on the verge of bankruptcy, be thankful that God will show you a way out. Amen? There is a way out of any dilemma. There is a way out of any dilemma. God is a way maker. Sister Darnell, God is a chain breaker. God is a pain taker. Hallelujah. In everything, there is anything too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. In fact, in the Greek, you know, the Bible was not written by King James or in King James English. English didn't come on the scene until about 1,000 years ago. But 2,000 years ago, nobody even spoke English. It was Greek. And so understand that in the Greek, the two words, everything, can be translated in each and every single thing. In each and every single thing, we are to aim our thanksgiving to God. If we're told to thank God in most things, we could live with it. If we're told to thank God in good things, we certainly could find a verse a lot easier to accept and obey. Remember the word obey? But Paul says we're to thank God in everything. In everything. Say it. Come on. In everything. All right. Are you going to obey the Lord? Are you going to obey him? You don't know what I'm facing. Look at Brother Blue, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 also tells us, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, nowhere in the scripture are we commanded to feel grateful. Amen. Didn't say be you always feeling grateful, but it did say be always giving thanks. Now, let's just be honest. I don't always feel very grateful. Amen, somebody. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings can be affected by the weather, by temperature, by the function of your liver, how much rest you get at night. But Thanksgiving has nothing to do with feelings. We're not commanded to feel grateful. It doesn't matter whether things are good or things are bad. We are to be grateful. Number one, be grateful for the blessings of life. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow unto it." A Christian is someone that does not have to consult his bank book to see how wealthy he really is. Amen. Now, we got to understand wealth, prosperity, abundance. We believe that. We preach that. We live that. But understand that if your car breaks down and you have to pay $650 to fix it, in everything, give thanks. I sure hope my car don't break down after tonight. If it does, I'm going to obey the command of the Lord. At least I have my Lincoln to break down and I didn't own a Chevy. Amen. All right, I'm getting into flesh. I'm getting into flesh. I know Chevrolet's a good car. They're almost as good as a Ford, but that's okay. That's, Toyota, I didn't hear that. I chose not to hear that one. Amen. Be thankful for the blessings of life. Are you blessed tonight? Amen. Well, how can I be thankful if my car's broke down? I'll tell you why. I'm thankful if my car breaks down because I'm just thankful I don't have to walk. Amen. Hallelujah that we have one. That's right. You know, we're the most complaining people. I got to pay for insurance, and I got to renew my license and stand in line, and I got to, gas is four, you know, when gas went up to $4 a gallon, you would have, I'm like, how are you people ever going to make it through persecution if you can't handle $4.25 in gas? I mean, you act like the world's come to an end. Just, what am I going to, you're going to pay it, and you're going to come to church. Amen, and you're going to be thankful for it. Amen. Because the fact that we do have, we have things that some people have never had in their life. Never had. One third of the world is underfed and one third of the world is starving. In fact, 30 people starve to death every minute and we complain about dirty dishes. Somebody said, thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home, health, and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss, but by the stack of evidence, God's been good to us. Thank God for dirty dishes. Amen. Come on. So when Darnell goes to work, day number one, dirty dishes. Day number two, dirty dishes. Day number three. And honey, why haven't you cleaned the dirty dishes? Darnell, be thankful for the dirty dishes. Amen. They have a story to tell. Amen. Oh. Now, when you came home Friday, didn't you see the dishes clean? They were clean. That's the first time in 24 years, but you saw it, right? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful for it. I choose. You know, when you go to a restaurant, oh, my goodness, is it? Oh, my goodness. It's getting time to close, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. I saw that. Y'all was the best thanks y'all gave all night. But thank you, Jesus. You say, well, the preacher, He had so many points to his sermon. What can I be thankful for? Well, just be thankful he had one good point. Amen. 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 You know, when we go to a restaurant, we just, do you realize that when you say the blessing over your food, do you realize you're thanking God for your food? But do you also realize you're witnessing to the world? So even if I'm by myself, I bow my head and I make sure that I say it and I say it out loud. And I'm not trying to be a show off, because I certainly pray in private and I don't need the world to see it. But I want to tell you, be thankful for your food and be a witness at the same time. Amen. Have you ever thanked God for water? There are only 3% of the world. Only 3% of the water in this world is fit to drink. Only 1/3 of 1% of the world's water is available to drink. And most of the clean water is right here in the United States of America. Over half of the world has no access to pure drinking water. In fact, God's greatest blessings are oftentimes found in the smallest things. Can you say amen to that? I heard about an elderly lady in a testimony meeting. She got up. She said, "There's always something to be thankful for," she said. I only have 2 teeth, but thank God they both meet. Hallelujah. Be thankful for the blessings of life. We are blessed and highly favored of God. Be thankful for the benefits of life. Psalms 103 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." If you ever go over to England, you will discover that many of the English houses of the 18th... Now listen to this, those of you who complain about taxes. Most of the houses built in the 1700s of England have very small windows. Do you know why they have very small windows in a lot of those houses? Because there was a window tax in those days. And so people, the bigger the window, the more sunlight came in, the more they were taxed. And so they began to build their houses with smaller windows. So be thankful that you don't have to pay for sunlight here. Amen. Did you know in Russia? Now, this is about 15 years ago statistics, so I haven't updated it. Didn't have a chance. But in Russia, 15 years ago, and it's only more today, but a man has to work 1 hour to earn one loaf of bread. 1 hour for one loaf of bread. In America, he only has to work 6 minutes. For a quart of milk, the average Russian works 1 hour and 11 minutes. An American, 9. For a suit of clothes, the Russian must work 583 hours. And the American works 38 hours. For plain cotton dress, the Russian works 225 hours. An American works for 4 hours. Don't forget your benefits. Give thanks to God in everything. The aim I choose. Give thanks always to all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful for your blessings. Be thankful for your benefits. And I tell you something else. Be thankful. Be thankful for your burdens. Yeah. It says in everything. Notice it says in everything, but not necessarily. It says give thanks in everything. It didn't necessarily say give thanks for everything. Now, I'd never give thanks for cancer. I never give thanks for stroke, or I never give thanks for heart disease. That's not scriptural to give that. Those things are not from God. They're from this world and the flesh and from the enemy. Can you say amen? But if those things happen in that attack, in that mode, in that place, we can give thanks. Somebody say amen. Look at 2 Corinthians. I didn't put this up here, but Brother Blue, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound for the glory of God. Now, what is he talking about here? Paul went through some hard places. He went through some tough stuff. But our God can take for all things are for your sake. In other words, I went through some terrible beatings. I went through some terrible nights without food, times of persecution. But that the abundance grace through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. You see, it's not something, everything that happens to you always happens for you. You missed that, didn't you? I missed it first time I read it. I love this, and I'm about to shout. Everything that happens to you, God causes to happen for you. Now, have you got it yet? It's going to hit you tonight. Everything that happens to me, God can make it happen for me. I know I've been broke. I know I've been busted. I know I've been disgusted. I know I've been persecuted. I know I've been lied on. I know I've been, I've never had family members to leave me. I know that thing, but it happened to me. But God, through the power of thanksgiving, can cause what's happened to you to turn around and happen for you, because he can turn it around and look back and show that he is still God and he can make good out of bad things. Say amen. Matthew Henry, some of you have the Matthew Henry commentary, 6-volume commentary. It's been in print for years. Preachers use it. Matthew Henry was a very godly man, and he got robbed by some thieves, and they stole all of his money. And he wrote these words in his diary. After being robbed, he said, "I am so very thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Do you thank him in the bad times as well as the good? You should. He can turn everything that's happened to you to happen for you. We thank him for sun. We thank him for the rain. We thank him for joy. We thank him for pain. We thank him for gains. We thank him for losses. We thank him for blessings. And we thank him for crosses. Unknown to the reading public, Dale Carnegie suffered deep periods of depression. And here's a way he helped himself during depression. He said, "I would deliberately imagine that I had lost everything. Job, property, reputation, family, everything I valued. And in my mind, completely devoid of everything, then I would start adding up what I had not lost, which included the entire list in reverse. And boom, it would lift my spirit." So understand, number one, that we must choose to give thanksgiving in the arena of thanksgiving, in everything, the aim of thanksgiving, everything. And then finally tonight, the ability of thanksgiving. Because the ability, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you want to do the will of God, if you really want to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life, then thanksgiving will allow you to do that. Somebody say amen tonight. Developing a thankful heart is a way of accomplishing his will. Thanksgiving reveals our devotion to God. Nothing says that we love God like obeying his commandments. Therefore, when we learn to be grateful in every circumstance, it proves our love for him like nothing else can, because it fulfills his will for our life. It proves our devotion. It reveals our dependence. When we come to a place where we can truly thank God in every situation, it says to the Lord, "I trust you to know what is best and to do what is best and to bring about what is best in my life." We must trust him to do that, even when we don't understand. When I can learn to praise the Lord when I'm in the valley, just as I do on the mountain, I am revealing to everyone that I trust the Lord. Not only does it reveal our dependence upon the Lord, our devotion to the Lord, I'll tell you finally, thanksgiving reveals our desire of the Lord. It reveals our desire. What we can learn, when we can learn to be thankful, even in the tough times, it says, listen, it says this, that we want him more than we want things to go our way. Hello? That's a desire for God. I don't understand this, but God, I give you the thanks. I give you the praise. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. In every way, and in every way, in every situation, in any place, in any condition, And any time when we give God thanksgiving, it's saying in reverse, God, I desire you, because he does inhabit what? And what is praises but nothing but thanksgiving unto God? Amen? When John Wesley came upon one of the college porters, what we would know today as janitors or custodians, they called them the porters back then. And he was working one lonely, late, and dreary night. John Wesley noticed that he was working outside on a cold night wearing only a light coat. And John said to him, "Go home and get another coat." The porter replied back, "This is the only coat I have in the world, and I thank God for it." Then he said, "Well, go home and get your supper then." He said, "I have had nothing today but a drink of water, and I thank God for it." And then John said to him, "It is late, and you will be locked out, and then what will you have to thank God for?" He said, "I will thank him that I have the dry stones to lay upon." And John Wesley said, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, no bed to lie upon. Well, what else do you thank him for?" The porter replied, "I thank him that he has given me my life and my being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him." Would you just lift your hands if you have a desire to serve him? Oh God, we just aim our thanks to you tonight. We just give you the thanks, not for things that may we not understand, but in those things, because we understand you and we know that you are going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Somebody say amen. Stand with me tonight. Let me close on something upbeat. You love the Lord tonight? Are you going to give him thanks? You're going to obey the command? You're going to choose to give thanks? Amen. Amen. Charlie Brown, it's that time of the year. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Charlie Brown Christmas. And it's Thanksgiving Day. Pastor, come on up. Then I'm going to play the piano. If you don't mind, Pastor, thank you. It's Thanksgiving Day. The aroma of roast turkey fills Charlie Brown's house. Snoopy, outside, laying on top of his doghouse, smells the aroma, and he's thinking, it's Thanksgiving Day, and everybody eats turkey on Thanksgiving Day. He lies there, watching the back door, eagerly awaiting his Thanksgiving dinner. And finally, the door opens, and here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl of dog food. He sets it on the ground. Snoopy gets off of the doghouse. He stares at the dog food with a forlorn look on his face. He thinks, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving Day. And the final scene shows him looking at the dog food a little bit more intently. And he thinks, the caption, he says, "Well, it could be worse. I could have been the turkey." Pastor, come on up tonight.
How many of you have found Jesus to be a way maker?
Amen.
Let's do that in F chord. We just go out of here shouting the victory. Well, one day the sun refused to shine in this dreary life of mine. I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then Jesus heard my humble prayer, answered me right then and there. One day he made a way for me. Sing it, church. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Jesus is the way maker. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One